Despite that refreshingly damp weather forecast, the potential for drought still hangs over much of the region. You know the drought calendar now. Governor Brown declared drought statewide in California in January. Individual counties in Oregon made their own local drought declarations in the 2 months since, with some backup from state government as well. Jackson County commissioners made the call last week. One of those commissioners is Doug Bridenthal, who is our guest in this segment of the Jefferson Exchange. Commissioner, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Was it simply a matter of when to declare drought disaster, not if?
Basically, yes. We've been contemplating it for quite some time. Some of the other counties jumped out early on this. We wanted to see what the March, typically April and March, are some of the heaviest snowfalls that we get. We wanted to see what was going to happen during that time period before we went there, because the snowpack is basically what made the determination for us.
Yeah, the snowpack is an easy one to figure it out, too. And just checking, as of yesterday afternoon, the snow water equivalent was at 27% of average in the Rogue Basin, 21% in the Klamath Basin. And the folks in the Willamette Valley are saying, it's not that bad here. You're right. It's 49% of the snow water equivalent median in the Willamette Valley. So
yeah.
Different situations, but 27% of your snowpack is just plumb awful.
Well, this is the worst snow year that we have on record. It is never. We've always had more snow than this. In the last 50 years that we've been tracking this, this is the worst that we've ever seen.
And evidenced by things like the fact that the Mount Ashland ski area never opened over the course of the entire winter.
Yeah, Mount Ashland, Southern Oregon ski resorts never opened, and Northern California ski resorts never opened this year.
So, Commissioner, was there a particular date or set of figures that you and the other commissioners were waiting for to make the drought disaster declaration?
We were just wanting to see what is going to happen in the month of March more than anything. And then when it looked like the trending was going to be another dry month with very little bit of rain, we went ahead and said, okay, let's start moving forward on this. One of the unique things that happens on a border county within the state is when California declared their drought, it gave us a lot of the protection under the California Drought Protection Declaration. So we received a lot of those benefits. Now, doing this on the Oregon side also gives us a few more benefits and access to some groundwater in the wells that weren't necessarily available before, and maybe a little more access to some water on the Rogue River and other larger rivers to be able to draw from that for irrigation without hurting the fish.
That's an interesting concept I hadn't heard before about the connection to California making a drought declaration. Could you flesh that out just a bit?
Well, what happens is because we understand that watersheds aren't necessarily on geographical borders of state lines, that these watersheds are interactive between the counties on the state lines. So the laws are allowing, so if Oregon makes a declaration, the Northern California counties get that same benefit, and if California makes a declaration, then the Oregon counties on our side get the benefit.
So have you been getting reports from water masters and irrigation districts about what the prospects for this year looks like for them?
Yeah, we have, and I was talking to them quite a bit just yesterday, actually, and it looks like the irrigation districts this year are going to be delaying service, and basically, if you normally get it on a certain date, they're going to set it back and try to hopefully you can rely on what rain we do get so that we can have the water supply that we have in storage last throughout the season. The storage that we do have, you will find that the lakes that people typically recreate in are going to see record lows more than likely at the end of this year.
All right. So when we talk about delaying service in irrigation districts, potentially how much later than usual? Is it simply the holding out as long as possible until they start to get calls of protest from irrigators?
So they're going to all work. Each district will have their own set of rules that they're going to put forth and how that's going to work. But a lot of that has to depend on what the spring rains look like. If we get rains like this, we're just getting a little bit just today. I know it's been raining up in northern Oregon here a bit, but just today we've got a little bit of rain in the Rogue Valley. And if we get stuff like that periodically once a week, maybe we can get some delay on this and prolong it and make it last a little bit longer because there's nothing filling the reservoirs at this point. All the snowpack's above 5,000 feet, and it's very minimal at best.
Mm-hmm.
So the storage that we have is essentially all that we have.
All right, so holding off as long as you can certainly pushes the water further into the year, you hope, anyway.
Well, yeah. I would go so far to say that the natural streams that rely on the snowpack up in the higher elevations and even in the mid-elevations will most likely go dry this year.
I wouldn't be surprised. Doug Breidenthal is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County Commissioner. The commissioners declared a drought disaster in Jackson County last week. You can join our discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Doug Breidenthal, what is, I mean, there's so many different levels of drought declarations and disaster declarations. What does the county's version mean, and what else does it set up?
Well, what it means for the residents of Jackson County, sort of basically what I alluded to earlier, it gives them special ability to get different water that they weren't normally able to get. But it also gives them access to loans on agricultural side. So here's an example, Mount Ashland. The mountain never opened this year. That is because of a drought with the snowpack. That business is in the may or may, how they look at how their future lies, it's unknown at the moment. So they were at access to federal loans or large loans to be able to keep that business floating for that time period. And these, all the agricultural side will have the same abilities to access that money to be able to carry them through this. The other part that is kind of, that's kind of a little bit that people aren't aware of is that we've lost, we have junior water rights to Klamath County, and we stand to lose approximately 15,600 acre feet off of what we call our 4 mile lake basin up behind Mount McLaughlin based on the adjudication of 2013. So if we look at how that all works and we look at the region into a look at the region as in a drought and we're have potentially losing this 15,000 acre feet of water to Klamath County that we've traditionally had for the past 100 years, this makes it a little bit more complicated than just a standard drought.
It sounds almost like a competition then, that if they've declared drought and you haven't, that it puts you at a disadvantage.
Well, they've already declared the drought,
right?
We wanted to sit and wait and see what the snowpack looked like, and now that we're in the position where we need to do it, it's they have senior water rights. The tribe over there through the adjudication won time immemorial, so we lost our water rights essentially. So that can potentially have some serious ramifications on agriculture in Jackson County.
All right, and that was through the adjudication process a year ago that set the Klamath tribes up as the number one holder of water rights.
Correct.
In the Klamath Basin. So now we've got the county declaration, which you explained pretty well. Now, there's also state drought declarations, and Governor Kitzhaber did declare, I think it's up to 5 counties, not including Jackson yet.
Right.
And so what does the state drought declaration add on to the county declaration?
Well, it's a process that it takes multiple layers. So we declare the emergency as the county commissioners, and we pass that to the governor. The governor takes and reviews all of our information, data, and looks at it and says, is this or is this not legitimate? And then he goes ahead and declares the disaster if that's what he determines. Once that's declared, that's what triggers everything, and that's when it's finalized. So it's a multi-step within a system, so to speak. He is the final word, in other words.
Okay.
Still got to go ask him if we can get this done.
All right. So this is you essentially saying, please, Governor, make this drought declaration because we're the ones saying we need it.
Exactly. And his decision won't be until mid-April sometime because that's the next time that they meet on this issue.
And is it the State Water Board that has to meet about that?
He has a special council that does all this type of stuff, the disaster work.
All right. So that's why these tend to go in cycles. So the counties will make their declarations. The board meets in the middle of the month. Poof, there's another set of state declarations, et cetera.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's all timing.
From what you understand from the various people you've talked to, and it sounds like you've had quite a few conversations about this, Doug Breidenthal, will we likely see a very different tone to agriculture within Jackson County this year? Are there some things that farmers, orchardists, it's not like the vineyards can't grow because the vines are there already, but what are they going to do?
You know, I would say this is the year that you want to start. Look, if I was a farmer, I would be looking at crops that are a little bit more drier, drought resistant, that I could still make a good profit margin on. You don't want to have, I would say it would make sense not to have a crop that was really heavily reliant on water. So some of them you can't get away with because it's an annual crop that you always do and it's in the ground permanently. But try to find different farming techniques this year. It's going to be interesting. And I know the irrigation districts are going to be working diligently to be able to get water to everybody and to make sure everybody gets it. But it's going to get, what I don't know how it's going to shake out is when people have senior water rights and junior water rights, the junior water rights more than likely are just going to get cut off. And if you're in that type of position, I would be very cognitive of the crop and the timing.
Well, there certainly was that situation happening in the Klamath Basin just over the mountains from Jackson County last year, where the adjudication produced shutoffs for some farmers.
Yeah, and it's going to have an impact. And then, you know, we're only at 56% of our annual precipitation also, so which is very, it's not very good. So when you combine that with the snowpack, it really has an impact. I can give you an idea. We only have one lake at this point in time in our system that's full, and that's Willow Lake. Our 4 mile lake that is the headwaters of most of this stuff is only 40% capacity or full. Fish Lake is only 59, Howard Prairie is at 58, Hyatt's only at 53, and Immigrant Lake is one of our largest lakes, is only at 57%. Typically, we see our lakes at a much higher level by this time of year.
Is Willow Lake fullest simply because it has a nice big mountain next to it that actually draws some precipitation to it?
When we were able, when the larger rains came earlier, like a month ago or so, we were able to fill Lost Creek and Applegate Lakes dramatically because the watersheds were able to capture that water. This irrigation lakes, the system that fills that doesn't necessarily allow it to open up because of the freeze and the snow that blocks all the canals and channels that moves that water into those or diverts it into these irrigation lakes, the storage capacity lakes. So a lot of it went down Butte Creek, and we lost it at a time when it really didn't need to go down. We could have stored that, which would have been good. So my biggest concern here is as we look at the not just with the agricultural side, but we also have a lot of fish that we rely on, our tourism industry. And how's that going to be? How's that going to look with our fish in the streams? That's going to be an interesting. I think we're going to see river levels very low this year also.
If, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but it's easier to think these things in a week like this one where there actually is some precipitation coming down. If it rains a whole lot, can or would the drought declarations be undone?
Well, I don't think that would even be prudent, to be honest with you. The reason I say that is because we have nothing filling our lakes. A lot of times what happens is you draw from the storage and for the irrigation, and then that is being replenished as the snowpack melts. So you're maintaining a certain level. You'll have 2,000 cubic feet per minute moving into a lake and maybe 2,800 moving out, and it draws that lake down very slowly. When you have nothing coming in from the snowpack, what happens is you draw it down more rapidly. So it's going to be very interesting that way. I wouldn't say removing the drought declaration would be prudent at all because it doesn't change the amount of water that's stored in the hills.
Are there any other steps commissioners can or would take to help people out in this drought year other than, you know, contacting members of Congress, members of the state delegation, et cetera, to see what could happen? Has you pretty much gone to the extent of what you're able to do as county commissioners?
Well, there's what I have to say to that is that there's always local programs that you can establish. There's some local things that we can do, I think, that's within our jurisdiction and allowed. But the majority of our work and the majority of the financial relief would come from either the state or the federal side, and it's our job to go back into Salem or back to D.C. and get that for our local constituents.
Doug Breidenthal is a Jackson County commissioner, one of three. The commissioners jointly made a drought disaster declaration last week. We'll hear if the state agrees with them in the middle of April. Doug Breidenthal, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much, and I wish us well with the water year.